Good morning. Today, if you can open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 8 through 17. And I titled this, Paul Ready to Share the Gospel. And we've seen that Paul was ready throughout his life to serve God. We saw it prior to him meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road, where he was zealous for God against the Christians. He was always ready to persecute them. We saw it with Stephen. And later, when he was going to Damascus, he was going to persecute Christians. After he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he was ready and willing. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And we see this in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. We know that Paul was ready to suffer. We saw that in Acts 21, verse 13. It said, then Paul answered, What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Ready to suffer and die for the Lord, to share. In 2 Timothy 4:6, he said, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And we see coming up here that Paul was also ready to preach in Rome, just like he was at Corinth, at Ephesus, and all the places he went to. He was always ready to share God's word, and he wanted to. So let's read through these verses. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means, now at least I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both of the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just give you thanks for this time that we can come together, Father, not only to hear your word, but to learn more about you, Father, and your Son, Jesus. I do ask, Father, that you would just speak to our hearts today, that we'd be able to take what you had to say today and not only apply it in our lives, Father, but be ready for the things to come, that our doctrine would be sound and we would understand it. Lord, we thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So we see Paul here saying, first, I thank my God. That word thank, in Greek, is eucharisteo. And Strong defines it as to be grateful, to express gratitude, especially to say grace at a meal, to give thanks. So this is where the church gets the word Eucharist from, and was used to describe the Lord's Supper. Basically, that spirit of thanksgiving from the heart of the believer during the supper in the early church, just as we do when we take communion now, giving thanks to God for his Son, Jesus, remembering him, taking communion. If you recall last week, we also discussed Jesus being the center, because he said, through Jesus Christ, everything revolves around him. We see the Eucharist, that spirit again of thanks, being brought out when the church practiced the Lord's Supper, that thanks for Jesus Christ, thanking the Father for his Son. Thus, when we pray to the Father, we pray in Jesus' name. says in John 14, chapter 14, verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Paul thanking God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, in recognition that Jesus made it possible for us to come to the Father on the cross. We see that Paul notes their faith in Christ was known throughout the world. I thought about that, and I wonder if that didn't happen when they were kicked out of Rome. Remember, Claudius expelled them. So they went all over the place. I mean, we saw Aquila and Priscilla meeting Paul and meeting up with him in Corinth, tent makers. And I can just imagine the Jewish Christians after leaving Rome meeting up with other Christians, encouraging them, and their brethren encouraging them because they've been now uprooted and moved on. That testimony of their displacement, sharing with people, trusting in the Lord, trusting in Jesus, until that time that they could go back to Rome. The world, that world meaning or in Greek is cosmos. Strong's defines it as a decoration by implication, the world, a wide or narrow sense, including its inhabitants. Basically, what it's meant here is that the whole known world at the time, their faith was known throughout the Roman Empire at that time, and maybe beyond, but through the known world. They had heard of their faith. And I read in Wikipedia the definition of cosmos, which is the Greek word for that world, and the cosmos, the universe, the nature, the order. And I thought, wow, God would have known of their faith also. In fact, he would have had a hand in guiding them wherever they went. Certainly Aquila and Priscilla to meet Paul so they could work together making tents and they could learn more and be more established in their faith. We go on in verse 9. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Paul calling on God as a witness to his prayer life. Spurgeon had said this, "No wonder that they prospered so well when Paul always made mention of them in his prayers. Some churches would prosper better if some of you remembered them more in your prayers." And how true that is. We should be praying for other churches, other believers in different areas. And I think about that, how much our sister churches in Fredericksburg, Stafford, Culpeper, Louisa, how much they would be beneficial of our prayers and how God would reward that. We see Jesus telling us in Matthew 6, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father, who sees you in secret, will reward you openly." Paul did not make a public showing of his prayers. I believe here in this situation, he was not bragging, but he so wanted to encourage them, let them know he loved them and was praying for them. Thus he says, "God is my witness whom I serve." And when you are in your prayer closet, God is your witness because nobody else sees you. It makes perfect sense. And is not God a witness to everything that we do? The where, when, how, the reasons behind it? He knows all. We are told in other cases to be careful in what we do so as not to be seen of men and receive a reward from men, but from God. In Matthew 6:6, he talks about fasting, or verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men as fasting." And he says, "Assuredly, I say, they have their reward." It's from men, not from God. Charity, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Do your charitable deeds in secret. Let your right hand not know what the left hand is doing. And you can just see the Pharisees back in that time and how they wanted to be seen fasting, so they appeared more spiritual and religious. How when they would go to the box, they would drop in a few coins, make them chinkle and kinkle, so everybody says, ooh, wow, they're really giving a lot. Paul's saying that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And remember that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In verse 10, Paul goes on, making request, if by some means, now at least I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Now Paul, more than likely at Corinth, writing this, sends this out, making a request. He's praying and asking God to allow him to go to Rome if it's in his will. He always was seeking God's will. And it's interesting that he adds, by some means, however you want me to get there. And Paul didn't know it at this time. He knew that the Spirit was telling him that he was going to be in bonds and imprisonment, and they awaited him when he got to Jerusalem. Yet he writes to those people in Rome saying, I am hoping to come to you. He didn't know he was going to be arrested in Jerusalem, spent 2 years in Caesarea because Felix wanted to get some cash out of him to let him go, and he wasn't going to pay him. He wanted a bribe. Festus, when he took over from Felix, could not decide on his case, so Paul requested to be heard by Caesar, who was Nero at that time. Felix sends him to Rome with Julius, the Augustan regiment commander, to take him to Rome. They sail and later get caught in a storm for 14 days, shipwrecked on the island of Malta.